You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Hour number two of Sports Daily. Thanks for joining us here on KFH on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube. Working on X, getting that connection back up going for you. We're glad to be here with you, however it is that you're listening to us, perhaps on the Odyssey app, which, by the way, if you're on your work and you want to keep listening to us, even after you park the car, the Odyssey app lets you do that, odyssey.com. Just download the app or visit odyssey.com, search KFH to get started. Super easy. I listen to a lot of Royals games that way while I'm mowing the yard, for instance. We've got podcasted versions of the shows. If you missed our disappointed video game discussion off the top of the show, you can go back and join in that fun there. All right, Chiefs report to training camp, Tommy, unofficially, but officially. But you know, training camp's kind of weird, but basically it's quarterbacks and rookies day. Patrick Mahomes has jokes for Chris Jones, who says he can't wait for training camp, but he's like, oh yeah, well then you should report on July 16th. But of course, the rest of the team reports later this week. Practices begin Sunday. Fans can get in starting Sunday. It's in St. Joe. I like training camp. Training camp is I don't know what you feel like the start of the next season is. I feel like it's training camp. So, it is sort of that moment. The Chiefs do a good job at training camp. They stay motivated for it. Remember Travis Kelce famously like getting in, you know, scuffles and things. Like, they're still passionate about it, I think. We'll see if that continues through this year. We haven't really talked a lot lately about like what things do we need to still learn about this team, when in reality there are probably quite a few. Mitch Holthus was with us last week and pointed at a couple of them, most notably the kickoff. They got to figure out the kickoff. They got to figure out who that, you know, sort of next running back, who's going to be the Jerick McKinnon of this team. He is pretty confident in the pass catchers, which I do think you'd like to see Xavier Worthy. Hopefully he's healthy. I think that's what we watch this week, don't you, Tommy? Like, Worthy is the storyline for the next couple of days because he tweaked his hammy, I think it was, in OTA. So is he back? Is he healthy? How much work can he get in with the rookies? I think that's what I would watch as much as anything. And then, of course, at left tackle, you potentially have a rookie starter there. I don't think that's out of the question either. So there probably are a lot of things to watch here over the next month or so at training camp.
I think it is left tackle for me, first and foremost, because, you know, there are other, pieces at wide receiver. And of course, you want to have Xavier Worthy be at 100%. We still don't know what the status of Rashee Rice will be going into this season, but we know that Hollywood Brown is there. We know that, you know, that he's going to be a key contributor offensively for the Chiefs. So it's not that I'm not concerned about the wide receiver room, but at least in training camp, I'm going to be fixated on left tackle because I want to know who the starter is going to be. I think that it's going to be unlikely that the Chiefs bring in anybody else at left tackle at this point, but they still could. And there still are some veteran left tackles out there, including Donovan Smith. I'm going to be interested to see at left tackle if they feel comfortable rolling with the couple of guys that they have. Will Wanya Morris get the start at left tackle? I mean, I don't think that he's, you know, really in place to do that. You know, so I don't know. I'm really going to be fixated on that particular position battle to see what they end up doing, if they like the guys that they have, or, you know, if they pull a wild card and try to go bring somebody off the street here late in the offseason.
I don't know. I think I'm, again, and I go back to at left tackle, especially, their evaluation of that position, of offensive linemen lately has been, well, in rookie evaluation has been good, right? It's been such a strange journey to this point. They have tried now, what are we on? This would be attempt four. At finding a left tackle. The fourth attempt at this. They've traded for a couple. They brought in Donovan Smith. They brought in Juwan Taylor initially. That didn't work.
They put
Donovan Smith there. So I think this is attempt four now to get this solved since Tampa busted them up in the Super Bowl, basically. And they just haven't been able to do it. And I think that this is as good an attempt as they've made. I like Wanya Morris. Can he be that guy? I don't know. But, you know, I think he deserves a chance to grow as a player, certainly. And then they finally went out and they attacked the position through the draft. They were aggressive in doing it. They traded up to get a player they liked. So, you know, I think that combination in reality is probably going to be better than what they've had. Is it, you know, what is the ceiling versus the floor? If the floor can be somewhere near, I don't know, Orlando Brown, I guess, which is, you know, average to a little above average in the NFL, I think is fair. I think that's a fair statement. Then I think you're in good shape. I don't know what the ceiling is, but it makes me, when I think about left tackle, I think about Patrick Mahomes. And I think about how Patrick Mahomes has evolved a little bit as a passer, too. We had the video game numbers early on. You know, when you had Tyreek Hill and you had all the weapons and you had a really good offensive line and all these things. And then that has sort of taken some time post Tyreek Hill to get back in a groove. I think they've attacked wide receiver aggressively since. I mean, it didn't work, but going to get Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore and Rashee Rice, like, don't act like they haven't attacked the position. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, like, they have been aggressive at the position, but I don't think they've ever put it together as well as they have post Tyreek Hill, then bringing in Hollywood Brown, then drafting a guy like Worthy, plus whatever you get out of Rice this year. If they can protect, if left tackle is just as good as it was a year ago, and I think there's plenty of room for it to be better with what they have, I think this could be a video game type number offensively for Mahomes again. That's why when Mitch Holthus tells us he thinks this defense could be better than a year ago, that's what floored me about that. I have come into this season, you know, you can go back on the Odyssey app and find that interview, but Mitch Holthus told us he thought the defense could be better than it was a year ago. I have been of the full belief that there's no way it can be as good. So can the offense take the steps forward that the defense equivalently takes backward? If they're as good as they were a year ago, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be fantastic this year. I think Travis Kelce is going to be fantastic this year because I think they've done so much to help those two take the pressure off of them. I mean, I think they become a clear, clear favorite. If you can tell me the defense is even just as good as it was a year ago. Now, I don't know that I got to see that play out, and I respect what Mitch Holthus has to say probably more than anybody when it comes to the Chiefs because he's with them every day. But if that happens, my goodness. Because I think the offense is going to be quite a bit better.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the Hollywood Brown acquisition, and I'm not talking about the draft, all the different players they drafted, I'm just talking about acquisitions in the offseason. Outside of Hollywood Brown, I mean, that was basically it. And so it's not like there were any kind of replacements that were brought in during the offseason from an acquisition point of view.
But they didn't lose anybody offensively.
I'm talking about defensively. You didn't have a replacement for LeJarius Sneed. You didn't have a replacement for Willie Gay Jr. It's all going to be internal. And that's fine. because I do know that, you know, clearly there were some players that, you know, that were able to get some playing time last year that produced at a high level.
They love Chenault.
And I think that, I mean, obviously with what Chenault brought to the table, you know, that made Willie Gay a little bit more expendable, made it easier to let him walk. You know,
Willie Gay knew he was gone before they even got to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, he was already saying things like that. That was a foregone. Where did he go?
The Saints,
by the way.
He signed a 1-year, $5 million deal with the Saints. Yeah. That's why it was surprising to me, because the Chiefs could have absolutely matched that. But that just shows how much they like Leo Chenault. And, you know, I think that also with L'Jarius Sneed, how much they like some of those other pieces that were behind L'Jarius Sneed in the secondary and that are going to get more playing time. I think the nice thing defensively, and this is probably what Mitch Holthus was talking about when he was on our show and talking about how he thinks the defense might be better, is you kind of do have a little bit of the benefit of the doubt with the defense because you're familiar with the players that are going to be stepping in to replace Sneed and Gay. They've been on the team. They're on the roster already. You've seen them in action in some cases in smaller sample sizes, but still you've seen what they've been able to do. And so it'd be a little bit different if you were completely bringing in brand new players to replace the ones that you lost. In a lot of cases, especially defensively, they're guys that you already know, and so that probably helps.
Furious George Karloftis' growth is a big part of it. Chris Jones being healthy is a big part of it. It really does come down to, can you replace Sneed? If their pass rush grows, which it could and should, if Felix Anudike Uzama takes a step forward, which they need him to, then yeah, it softens that for Sneed a little bit. The defense is certainly something to watch. I think what corner works their way through, again, it's not that I don't think the defense will be good. It's to hear that it could be better that made me like take a double take, because if that happens, and again, like, the NFL season's impossible to predict anyway because it's so injury dependent and all these different things. Man, if they can be that good defensively again, I just, like, good luck, because I think the offense is going to be way better with the players that are there now. I think Hollywood Brown is better than any receiver they had on the roster last year, including Rashi Rice, by the way. Rashi Rice is fine. Rashi Rice is a good player, but we don't know about him. But I think Hollywood Brown's better than all of them. And Worthy just needs to be better, than Marquez Valdez-Scantling? Like, if he can play that role and be better at that role, I mean, he certainly has the pedigree to do it. I think it lessens. Kelsey's going to be a big-time part of the offense. They brought back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's not enough for me. Because, you know, we assume that Pacheco's not going to take, you know, 300 carries or something crazy like that. But I just, when you look at it, and I think, again, I would bet you that Mahomes is, this will be the year Mahomes reminds us, like, statistically. You know, he reminds us all the time just when we watch the games. But statistically speaking, I think he's going to just have a stupid year. And if the defense is that good, like, is anybody there with that? How big of a favorite does that make them if the defense is that good? I think it makes them as big a favorite as we've had in a long time. Don't you? I mean, if you look back at going into a season, the Chiefs weren't even the favorite, by the way, going into last year, if you remember. It was the 49ers were the favorite. So if you consider all of that and you can tell me that the defense will be as good, I would tell you that they would be probably the biggest favorite we've had going. And they are the favorite this year.
I mean, they're the favorite until they don't win a Super Bowl.
But the big, well, they were, I'm talking about like legitimately like odds on favorite, because the Niners were the odds on. Now we pondered about that a little bit. The road to do it was much easier for the Niners than it was the Chiefs. There could have been something, but remember, the Chiefs weren't favored in the Super Bowl. So they weren't favored last year, really, in any capacity. They will be this year. I would imagine there won't be any games where they're an underdog this year. Even tough road games, if they're healthy. You know, again, crazy things happen in the NFL. But if they're healthy, I don't think they'll be an underdog at any point this season. And I think the scary thing for the rest of the league is they're so equipped to handle that. Right, they've been here so often now that none of that's that big a deal to them. Nothing is going to happen within this season that shakes them. We learned that last year, right? if last year didn't shake them, nothing that happens will shake them. They just got to get to the playoffs. That's it. And I think they're going to, what is their win total? I'm going to look that up because I'm sure the juice on it is really, really bad now. So it's probably not even worth taking. But I don't know how you don't see this as like a 14-win team minimum. If that defense was that good. Right now, the Chiefs are, where are you at, Kansas City? Sorry. They are 11.5, and it's only minus 115. 12 wins, 12-5? 12-5 at minus 115?
Yeah, I think I could get on board with that over.
They're going to win 12 games. If they're healthy, again, that's why it's always hard. But if Patrick Mahomes plays all the games, they're going to win 12 games.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm, at this point willing to say that they're going to win 14. I mean, that's a pretty tall task for any team. I don't care if you've got Patrick Mahomes or not. Yeah. I mean, that's a tall task in a 17-game season. They very easily could, but then just remember, their record last year, and they still won a Super Bowl. They didn't win the regular season games that they were expected to win in a lot of cases. They'll be, I think, a better offensive team. There's no doubt about that this year. But I think the only other thing offensively that, I want to look at training camp and I want to see how it develops is, what does the running game end up looking like? I mean, obviously, you've got Pacheco. You've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. You do have a hole without Jerick McKinnon on the roster. And so is that, somebody else that is coming up? That an undrafted free agent or somebody like that that you could bring in and put in, in place to be a reserve running back. Will they try to, make a small addition in the backfield through free agency? I don't think that's likely. I don't think any free agent signing is likely at this point for Kansas City. But I am interested to know, are they going to try to have a little bit more reinforcements at the running back position? They should. Because Isaiah Pacheco, I think, is prone to injury, and I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has shown he's prone to injury. So having some reinforcements there, I think, is an important thing.
They've got enough different things happening offensively that I was worried about that big time last year. I'm not as worried about it this year because I think they could survive without running the ball. I don't think they want to do that, but I think they could do that. I think they could be just fine just throwing it 50 times if they had to. I don't think they want to put Mahomes at that kind of risk, but they could if they needed to in any individual game. I am so confident that their offense will be better. I don't even think that's a question. Their offense will be better. Even if Rashee Rice misses significant time, their offense will be better. They didn't lose anything of significance. Nothing. I mean, left tackle with Donovan Smith, but Wanya Morris was there last year anyway. So now you've got a high draft capital and Morris back. Like I don't think they've gotten worse, Tommy, at any spot. Like any spot on the offense, I don't think is worse. That's never been the question for me. The question for me has been that team won last year because of its defense in spite of its offense, right?
Yeah.
If we really remember to when things were going poorly, they were winning in spite of their offense. And I know that seems crazy to say because it's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, but that's absolutely what was happening. They were making mistakes. They couldn't figure it out. Mahomes was pressing. Kelce was pressing. Like it was, they were winning because of their defense. I have not gone into this season at all thinking they could do that again. Like they could win because of their defense again. It hasn't mattered as much because I think their offense is so much better than it was a year ago. But if you put them both together, that's where I think you look at one of those special kinds of seasons that we have from time to time. And if they stay healthy, they're going to just be so hard to beat if their defense is as stingy as it was a year ago. What do they need at that point? Three touchdowns a game? Three touchdowns a game offensively?
Yeah.
Who's scoring 21 on them if their defense is as good?
Yeah, and it's funny, though, because you say three touchdowns a game kind of nonchalantly, and I get that.
I know that's a difficult.
That was a struggle last season. Now, will it be a struggle this year? I don't think so quite as much, but, man, getting to that point, that was a struggle at times last year.
It was. You got to consider kicking, too. It's not just touchdowns. You got to add field goals to it, which – unless this offseason rattles Harrison Butker, and who knows, because kickers are fickle. I mean, he was the best in the business a year ago. So, if he's getting you a field goal or two a game, if they get to 20, again, If they get to 20 and that's all it takes because the defense is that good, then that's going to be hard to hold them to 20 because I think their offense is significantly better than it was a year ago, and I think it's better than it was 2 years ago. I think this will be the best post Tyreek Hill offense, and I don't think it's particularly close. And that's even assuming Rashee Rice is suspended for a significant amount of time, because I think he will be ultimately. I think that highly of Hollywood Brown. I think that highly of, Xavier Worthy has to be better than what you were getting out of Tony and Sky Moore. Has to be. I mean, it's hard to imagine he won't be. Now, again, health matters. And, oh, by the way, they still have those two guys. Like, they're still sitting there. They draft a tight end that everybody's in love with. The only question is left tackle. That's it. That's the only question. And that can be a big problem. But I don't think it will be. I think if it's Wanya Morris at worst, they'll be fine. They'll at least be as good as they were at that spot a year ago. So I'm excited about it. And we'll, you know, camp is going to be, again, I think the two things to watch for in camp. Well, I'm going to tell you four things that I'll be watching for at training camp. Let's take a quick break. I'll give you four things I think will be significant to the ceiling of this team. Again, training camp starts today. Rookies and quarterbacks report. I know that is, it snuck up on me. For sure. The full training camp starts this weekend. Here we go. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion. It's Sports Daily on KFH. It's all Brockton Caster. By the way, this portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Been maybe a little toasty? Get out there and swing it. Not for the rest of the week. It's going to be nice golfing weather here. Maybe a little wet, maybe a little rain, which we'll take after a heat wave like that. One more hot day today. But if you want to check out Crestview, two courses, 36 holes you can play, plus all the other stuff, which we use, the pool. My wife plays tennis there all the time. Nice restaurant, great bar. Give them a call. Check it out. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We're coming right back. More Chiefs talk next. Everybody, IHOP hotline's open for you at 869-1240. This is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on a Tuesday. We're talking Chiefs. Begin training camp today. Rookies, quarterbacks report. I'm going to give you four things to watch for in training camp. Otherwise, I think it'll be pretty much business as usual. You could tell me if I'm missing anything. I think left tackle is first and foremost. I think Xavier Worthy is certainly specifically something to watch. The second corner, who steps up behind Trent McDuffie, and Felix Anudike Uzama. Can he step up with his high draft capital and be a contributing starter on this team? This would be about the four things I'd look for. Otherwise, stay healthy, right? And just implement all the new things with the new gadgets and toys that they have on offense. But I think that's all standard. I think those other four specific things will be about the only needle movers for me.
I totally am on board with all of that. I mean, I think that really the major thing, I mean, you mentioned left tackle, you mentioned Xavier Worthy. I would expand that to just say, how is the deep ball worked back into the Kansas City Chiefs offense now that you've got Hollywood Brown? And then obviously with what Xavier Worthy brings to the table and, his yards after catch and, you know, all of the different skills that he brings, I would kind of expand upon that a little bit. Absolutely, the secondary after Trent McDuffie, what that looks like. And then you say Felix Anudike Uzama, I would maybe swap that out. I'm not as concerned about that necessarily as my number four. I would put what they're going to do with reinforcements at the running back position. That would be my number four. And then FAU, can he develop into a starting outside linebacker for the Chiefs? I would put that after that. I mean, I think it'd still probably be in the top five of what I'm looking for, but I would definitely go running back over Felix Anudike Uzama.
Well, wait, I mean, don't you think they still see him as a bookend defensive end? You think they have him as an outside linebacker?
Well, no, that's what I misspoke. As a defensive end, not as an outside linebacker.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was that thought of him coming out that maybe he could play that position.
Right.
I do think it's important. That's a high draft
I think it's
pick.
Important too. I would rather see what their reinforcements are going to look like from a running back position perspective than what they're going to do with Felix Anudike-Uzomah, because we already know what they're going to do with him.
Well, but I think him being good will be far more impactful to the team than the backup running back being good. I do think, and I don't think this about every team, so I am not on board with the running backs don't have value. I think they have tremendous value depending on what the team is. I think it's less important for the Chiefs now. They basically need a running back who can catch passes and not fumble the ball in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's what they need a running back for. I mean, that's it. That's what they've got to have. You don't fumble the ball, and you catch passes when you need to. Because Isaiah Pacheco is going to take care of the late work for you. Who can spell him? Who can keep him to about 15 carries a game, right, and let him be your closer? Because I do think they'll throw it more this year. Why wouldn't they? Right, the roster tells you they should, at least while you have Brown, Worthy, Rice, Tony, Sky Moore, Travis Kelce, maybe the rookie tight end, maybe Clyde Edwards. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous the number of pass catchers they have now. You need three of those guys to be good. And Patrick Mahomes will have games where he probably has eight or nine different guys catch passes. I don't think they need to run the ball as much this year as they did last year. I don't think it's like as big a need, because I think you can trust the passing game just a little bit more. Patrick Mahomes will put up big, big, big numbers this year. I think Travis Kelce might too. I can't decide on that. Can't decide if I want to make that call yet. But Patrick Mahomes will. Patrick Mahomes will have, let me just pull it up. Let me just pull up real quick his numbers from the past couple of years. Because I think his numbers this year will be the best they have been. What year would that be? In 22, I mean, he had ridiculous numbers in 22. So I probably shouldn't say it'll be better than 22. But if we're looking back, you know, that first year, 50 touchdowns, then 26, then 38, 37, 41, then just 27 last year. I'll bet he's north of 40 again. And I'll put him at least 4,800 yards. I bet he's. How would I even predict this? Let's say he goes 4,900 yards and 45 touchdowns and fewer interceptions, like 10 interceptions. I just think his numbers are going way up this year. So I don't think the running back room needs to be as much as they needed it to be last year, because they just couldn't find their groove in the pass game. That seem fair?
Yeah, I'm not. That's not the reason why I would focus on that. And again, remember, I'm not saying that's the number one focus in training camp. I've got it as like my number five priority, or number four priority to look at, under some of the other big things that we've talked about already. But it's not that I feel like they're going to need to lean on the running game more than last year, and that's why the focus should be on that. It's because the two guys that they have at the top of the depth chart are probably going to get injured at one point or another this season.
It's if they get injured at the same time.
Right. And, you know, that's the way that Isaiah Pacheco runs. We know that. That's well documented. It's prone to injury. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been injured a lot in his career as an NFL running back. And so you just know the shelf life of these running backs and the way that it typically works. And I was surprised, and I think you were too, that the Chiefs re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire instead of letting him walk. They brought him back. So at that point, it's like, okay, you definitely, I think, feel like he can have a solid role, that he can be a key contributor, at least in the running game, for Kansas City this year. But I'm not sure that you can just go into the season feeling comfortable with, all right, we've got Pacheco and CEH, and that's it. And we'll be fine for 17 games in the regular season and then through the playoffs. I think you've got to try to at least establish what are some other options that we might have behind them.
Don't you think, though, that bringing Clyde Edwards-Helaire back should tell us something about what they think about that room? I think they just like they basically here's how I imagine they see that room. Don't screw it up is kind of it, right? Like just don't screw this up, right? Don't try to do too, like they know exactly what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, which is probably why they were like, you know what, let's just bring him back. We know what he is, we know what we need. He can give us that. Like he's not gonna wow us, but he's not gonna screw things up. I don't know.
I don't know. If I feel it's like that. They are. I think it's a little. It might be a little bit of that, but I also think a little bit of it is we gave a first round draft pick to get you, and so we want to try to do everything in our power to get as much life out of you as we possibly can. I'm not convinced that there would have been much of a market for CEH outside of the Chiefs. Somebody maybe would have brought him in to be a backup guy or a change of pace.
There wouldn't
have been a market for him. They could have easily just cut him, and he might have been out of football, honestly.
Well, they didn't have to cut him. They brought him back.
Cut him loose. Like, they could have been like, we're not going to re-sign you. Yeah, we're not going to re-sign you, and he probably would have been out. I believe that. I don't know if it's more of, hey, don't screw it up, as, man, we invested quite a bit to get you. So
I don't think they care because they're going for their third straight Super Bowl. I don't think they have to defend themselves anymore. Not saying they're about Clyde Edwards.
I don't think it's an external defending of it. I think it's more of like an internal, like, shoot, we got to make sure we get our money's worth out of that draft pick.
And in fairness to that pick, which was a bad pick, they – like for as much as the value of that pick has not worked, they've at least equaled that in how much value they've gotten out of Isaiah Pacheco, right? Like there's been the yin and the yang on that particular thing. I think he knows it. They knew they didn't have to pay a bunch of money for him, and I just don't think they'll value the position and lean into it as much as they did a year ago. I think they're going to redesign things a little bit, and they're going to throw it more. I think they're absolutely going to throw it more. Think about it. You have now, and you know what else we haven't really thought about, but is very likely coming, is how they use Kadarius Toney, right? Like, how do you utilize the guy that they still will tell you is one of the more electric after-the-catch guys, which that's not just the Chiefs being stubborn. Like, he's always been thought of that way. But they've got the ability to use him in a different way to limit his mistakes too, right? Imagine things like the don't line up offsides play, right? Like what can you do to utilize his skill set? I would say Sky Moore, the ship maybe has sailed to some degree. He's a nice depth piece. But Kadarius Toney probably still has some value somewhere. He doesn't have to be your – what does he need? Like you're looking at he's going to be behind the depth
receiver,
chart.
Maybe.
Right. He's going to be behind the depth chart just at receiver behind Rice, Brown, Worthy. Just at receiver. Then if you're talking about pass catching options, he's going to be behind those guys and Kelsey and maybe a rookie tight end and your running back.
Don't forget they also brought back Mecole Hardman. So, I mean.
He is a gadget player.
I would almost put Hardman above Toney on the depth chart.
I just think Tony's a whole lot better. So, but he,
I think
but
Tony
he has
is a
made,
lot more athletic. I don't know if I want to say Tony's a lot better.
You know what I mean? Tony's upside is far higher. We'll call it that.
His downside is probably far lower.
It's way lower. Although Hardman has some downside there too. Hardman, I think, is there for his return ability, and maybe that's where Tony's value comes. I don't know if he can be a kick returner as much as a punt returner, but I'd sure try. That's where I'd use him first and foremost. That's another thing about this too. We got to get Mitch back on. We owe Mitch another conversation on that, especially now with training camp, about what he has seen in the kicking game. Because as we were ending our conversation with him last week, he was like blown away by how impactful this is going to be and how the Chiefs are attacking it. Like major, major impacts back to the way it used to be. Which is why I think the NFL is doing the right thing here, and that's not ever seeing this thing play out in real time. I can't wait to see it, but I would love for the return game to be a bigger part of football. It's the most exciting play in football. There's nothing more exciting than punt or kick returns for touchdowns. That's what made primetime. That's what made Dante Hall, Devin Hester, like some of the all-time legendary exciting players, just because they were great return men. So I'm glad that's coming back too. Maybe Toney helps you there. I think Hardman certainly will try to. But the point of all of that is think about how far down the depth chart now your second and third receivers from last year going into the year are. I mean, they are way down. And really, that might have been your first and second receiver last year going into the season. They didn't know Rashee Rice was going to be as good as he was. You probably looked at Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney as your starters. Those guys are now.
I think you did.
At worst, they're your fourth and fifth just receivers.
If memory serves, and I don't know, I'd have to go back and look and see, you know, what the early like training camp
snap counts,
you know, snap counts, and even depth chart that the Chiefs put out, what it looked like.
Right?
Wasn't it like MVS, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore? Like what? I think Sky that Moore. Was
I
one, two,
so.
And three.
I mean, it certainly wasn't Rashee Rice yet.
No,
I can't get over how much better I think that group is going to be this year. They're going to sling the rock. Fantasy football players, Tommy, close your ears because we're in the same league. If Mahomes slips at all this year because everyone's a running quarterback, take Mahomes. Like to me, last year he was obviously overdrafted. He didn't deliver on that. Let him fall and then swoop him up because I think his numbers are going to be stupid again this year. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. We'll come back. We'll talk a little more Royals, perhaps, as we get ready to focus in on not the All-Star games tonight, but I think we're focused in on the trade deadline. Let's be real. Anybody out there that would be a wish list kind of guy for the Royals that's attainable, obviously. We'll talk about that when we return.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. We've been talking Chiefs training camp for you there. Let's set up our giveaway for the second hour, NBC World Series tickets. You can win some of those tickets. All you got to do is text the keyword STRIKE to 20357. Each entry will give you the chance to win a pair of tickets to one of the games out at the NBC World Series. Message and data rates apply. That's STRIKE to 20357. Good luck, everybody, there as we're making our way through. All-Star game tonight. Tommy, do you take any pride in the winner of the All-Star game? Did we break the streak here on Major League Baseball recently? I think we did. We'll take a look at that. I do take some pride in it. I think that I want the American League to win. Both the teams that I follow play in the American League. That helps. But you're a Braves guy. Do you Do you take like a National League pride at all?
Yeah, I've always been a National League guy. In all the years, it is a little bit different now that every team is playing every other team. So there's really no separation between the leagues for the most part. But back in the day, if my Braves weren't in the World Series, which they were a lot, you know, when I was a kid, but when they weren't, yeah, I was always going for the National League. I really, you know, supported them and cheered for them more than anybody else.
You guys finally came around and got the designated hitter. Look, at least you got that. So the National League won it last year. Before that, the American League was on nine game win streak since 2013. The American League has dominated recent history in the All-Star game, as it should be. But hey, you guys got one last year. Congratulations. But I do take pride in it.
You get locked into the All-Star game? Like, are you going to be locked into it?
Not anymore. Yeah. Not anymore. I used to watch every second of it. It was one of my favorite events. But, you know, those were the days where we didn't have cable television. You were kind of bound to the networks, and it would be on Fox. And, yeah, as a kid, I wanted to see, like, the one Ranger that would make it every year because they sucked. And, yeah, I watched it all. I watched the whole thing. I loved the – and I still really like it. No, I'm not as locked in as I used to be.
Yeah, I was watching – it was during the Home Run Derby last night. And what I loved everything about it, what I really loved, obviously Bobby Witt Jr., not only him, but then you had the other Royals representatives that were there cheering him on, you know, and they were, Lugo and Reagans and obviously Salvi, like they were all there with him. And I got kind of nostalgic and I started thinking about back in the day, 20 years ago, when the Royals were so bad all the time, year in and year out, and they would have like that one lone representative in the All-Star game, and usually they weren't even any good, but they had to have somebody in the All-Star game. Like, I remember Ken Harvey was the Royals' lone representative 20 years ago. He was awful. They had, what was that, the pitcher? Mike Redman, I think, was the Royals' lone representative 1 year. Like, it was so
bad. The Rangers at least usually had, like, a slugger.
Yeah, and then I'm, like, watching, you know, and it was, you know, when they were really bad, like, it was maybe a reliever that would get in. They would grab, like, one of the bullpen pieces to just be the All-Star. I know Mike Sweeney got to be an All-Star a few times, so that was good, but he was on some really, really bad teams. But it was just, like, night and day different, like, thinking about then to now, and you've got, like, a legitimate superstar in Bobby Witt Jr. and an icon and a legend in Salvador Perez and two top tier pitchers that are all in the All-Star game together representing this team. And it wasn't fun to think back about those really lean years, but it was cool to kind of contrast the way that it was to now.
I think that's as much as anything. It's that kind of thing that adds to the urgency. And I know we were going to do a wish list at the trade deadline, but we just ran out of time. We'll do it tomorrow. But it adds to the urgency of why it is important that they're aggressive, because there have been too many years like that. And you began to get this sense in the last 4 or 5 years that it was going to happen again, right? You had the great World Series runs, including a World Series championship, and you know they stayed competitive for another year. And then it just kind of started to feel again like, my God, like this is going to happen to them again. They're going to have this stretch like where they don't have any chance or any hope or anything like that. And so this year they get this rare, at least in recent history, chance to break away from it. That's why, as much as anything else, I think that's why they have to be aggressive and take advantage of this moment right now.
Yeah, so Mark Redman, by the way, was the Royals representative in 2006. His ERA that year, 5.35. He was their All-Star representative in 2006.
Not bad.
You know, that's a 5.35 ERA. Come on now. He ranks up there in a bunch of lists as far as like the worst All-Star game selection of all time.
It's terrible. It's terrible. We're there. It's the All-Star break. We'll watch the game tonight. We'll at least try to keep up with it anyway. I won't be as locked. I said it earlier. I'm not going to be as locked in as I was for the Home Run Derby because I was locked into the Home Run Derby last night. I loved it. I thought it was so good. And Bobby Witt Jr. and Alec Bohm and those guys were a big part of that. But it'll be interesting tonight. Look, we know Lugo's not going to get the start now and that we kind of hoped for that. Now I'm kind of glad he's not going to get the start. So all of that's there. It's all there for you. We'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. We'll go through our trade deadline wish list tomorrow as well. That's really when you get – it's the Wednesday and Thursday before games start. So we're going to get creative over the next couple of days and have some fun. But we'll be coming back. We'll have day one of Chiefs training camp to talk about too. It's all coming for you. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today when we return on Sports Day.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.